Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. All this chatter, all this talk, all those arguments. It is draft day in America, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. It doesn't matter if you're an Eagles fan, a Dolphins fan, a Cowboy fan, a Packer fan, a Bear fan, a Seahawk fan, or a Charger fan. Everybody gets to open a Christmas present tonight, baby. Well, at least over the weekend. Not everybody has it tonight. There's the Houston Texans. I'm not sure if they have any draft picks for the next 8 years other than Houston. This is so good. It's a little bit of hope. It's optimism. Everybody feels good. So much negativity in the world, even in sports. This weekend, everybody wins. Everybody gets presents. Everybody feels good about themselves. Everybody's optimistic. I love people. You talk draft all the time. It's fun. It's optimism. It's hope. It's great. Joy Taylor is joining me. I love tonight.
It's the best. And it's life-changing for a bunch of families and young men all over the country.
Listen, you're going to watch kids tonight. Their whole life changes.
Yeah, realize their dream. The families who drove them to practices and paid for the extra protein shakes and went to all the games and froze and sat in the rain. Like, it's a very come together moment for everybody.
So I want to talk about this. So here we go. Oh boy. First report. A reporter in Boston. Patriots working a new contract with Jimmy G. I made calls. I couldn't get it confirmed. Second report, Patriots talk to the Atlanta Falcons. They have the number 4 pick about trading up. Now, Atlanta's trying to drive a hard bargain. Apparently, they didn't make a deal. My favorite line in this story, though, is making a trade up that big would be out of character for Bill Belichick, who's generally preferred trading down, acquiring additional draft picks, rather than mortgaging the future with a blockbuster trade up. It is funny, when Tom Brady leaves, New England's now doing a lot of things out of character, like losing seasons, spending a fortune on free agency, and now potentially mortgaging the future. Proving once again you can have the best coach in the world, the best owner arguably in the world, the best offensive coordinator, the best system, the best offensive line coach, and your star quarterback leaves, and you're a big nothing burger and you're flailing. I mean, look at New Orleans. Last 4 years, 4 division titles, great GM, great coach, excellent owner. Fox Bet has the Patriots and the Saints at 9.5 wins. That's with an additional game. They're average. Would you be shocked in the next 4 or 5 years if the Saints puttered around and made the playoffs once? Would you be shocked if New England puttered around for the next 4 and 5 years and made the playoffs once? You can't be. So we got 2 New England narratives right now this morning in America. One story, they go Garoppolo. Proven, been there, knows the system, feels safe. Or you take a big swing. And you go and trade a bunch of picks, first rounders, for a Trey Lance. That would be my pick. Or Justin Fields. Both fine. The way I look at it, you got to go for it. This is a very, very unique year. We have 4 quarterbacks. I don't count Mac Jones ever being a first-round pick. We have 4 quarterbacks in any year could be the number 1 pick. Trevor Lawrence will be the number 1 pick. He doesn't exist. Surprise Zach Wilson, because he has the most arm talent, they say. Justin Fields was considered the number 2 pick several months ago, so you know he could go in some drafts as a number 1 pick. And Trey Lance, if we don't have a pandemic, and Trey Lance actually plays 12 games... Well, Carson Wentz from his school went number 2. Why couldn't he go number 2 or number 1? So I don't think Mac Jones is a number 1 talent. But I think 4 guys could be. You're not going to have this again. I mean, usually we have 1 really good quarterback, maybe 2. We don't have 4. To me, New England's got to go for it. And what New England does, two reports today, Garoppolo, they're working on a deal, or Trey Lance, Justin Fields. What New England does tells you a lot about how Bill Belichick, almost 70, thinks. If you go Garoppolo, it means we won't stink. It's safe. He knows this system. But this is a dude that can't get out of September healthy. I mean, Justin Fields almost got torn in half in a college bowl game this year. He came back and played the second half. Garoppolo can't get out of September, and now we've added a game to the schedule. You think Garoppolo's going to last 17? Really? In the toughest division in football? All those teams are good. I mean, God, now Arizona's got J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones, and Seattle kept Dunlap, and we all kind of know that the Rams have Aaron Donald, and these are some of the best defensive players up front in the league. So what is New England? If you go Garoppolo, it's telling me they just are tired of being humiliated by Brady. They're tired of it. They just don't want to stink. You can make an argument. Defense, Belichick will be viable. But you don't have a Josh Allen, you don't have a Justin Herbert, you don't have a Patrick Mahomes, you don't have Lamar Jackson. Or you take the big swing. And that tells me Belichick's sticking around a while. Belichick is all in on a rebuild. Belichick's going to be patient. Belichick is not retiring soon and going golfing in Jupiter, Florida. What New England does will tell me a lot about where they're going. Because if you look around right now in the NFL, and I like Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm a much bigger fan of Garoppolo than almost all of you. He's the 14th best quarterback in the league, 15th. Maybe 12th. But with all that injury stuff, nobody in their right mind thinks you're getting 3 years, 17 games minimum per year with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's going to tell us about Belichick. How close is he to retirement? Does he want to rebuild? Does he want to nurture? Does he understand he can't win? Because you get Trey Lance, you're not going to play for a year. And it may be a little rocky in year two. Same with Justin Fields. So I think New England's going to tell us a lot about Belichick's future, how all in, how committed to Super Bowls long term. Because Garoppolo, who I like, feels really safe. But no reasonable person can think he's going to last 17 games minimum. Forget playoff games, three straight years. All right, so now with the draft, once an NFL season starts, I'll be honest, we talk about 8 to 12 teams. In college football, we talk about 5. I don't spend a lot of time talking crappy teams. But the NFL draft is different. Every year, for about 6 to 8 weeks before the draft, all sportscasters talk crappy football teams because they always have the best draft picks. So we're going to talk Jets and Jags, Cleveland. Philadelphia's a mess. They may move up. I mean, Cleveland, essentially, the last 20 years, the only time we talked about them was the draft. See how badly they'd screw it up. So I just want to talk about one really good football team for the next 3 minutes because I think their draft is fascinating, and that's the Green Bay Packers. So the Green Bay Packers are really good. They have a top 2-3 quarterback in the world, top 10 probably ever. The Green Bay Packers played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to get to the Super Bowl. And it was close. In fact, when the game was over, we weren't talking about this team's way better than that team. We were talking about a coaching decision. So Green Bay was close to getting to the Super Bowl. The coaching decision is what we talked about. We didn't talk about, it wasn't like the Super Bowl where Kansas City was overwhelmed. It was that coaching decision. And Green Bay has 10 picks. So Green Bay's the only excellent team in the NFL tonight with 10 picks. Dallas has 10. They're not excellent. They got 10. They got 2 4s, 2 5s, 2 6s. I am a believer, and I've said this for years, I am a big believer in moving down in the draft. In fact, I think you can make arguments that if you never had a first-round pick, if you had your quarterback, if you had a good quarterback, don't worry about first-round picks. Have 2 seconds, 2/3. You can pay for your quarterback. But Green Bay's different. Green Bay's really good. Green Bay's got 10 picks, and they've got like 2.5 holes. They need a corner. We saw that against Tampa Bay right before half. They definitely need another receiver, although they've got a superstar one and very nice complimentary pieces. But they need a sec. They need a dog. They need a two. And they need a corner. And then I like their linebackers, but if one became available late first round, I'd go for it, and I'd take that. I don't think they necessarily have to move up in the first round, because I do think they could solve their linebacker issue where they're at now. But when the first round's over, tonight's over, they're going to have 9 picks and 2 holes. Would anybody criticize them? Remember, last year, their first round pick was a guy that wasn't going to play and ticked off Aaron Rodgers. I think they owe Aaron Rodgers and themselves hyper-aggressive actions probably after tonight. I do think they can land a really good linebacker, and they're not desperate at linebacker. Hell, they're not desperate at wide receiver or corner. But I think they can stay where they're at tonight and get a really nice linebacker. But by tomorrow, I'm giving up some of those picks to get a top corner and to get a top wide receiver. Because this is rare ground. This almost feels like New England for 20 years. They're good. They're playing in conference championships. They don't have a ton of holes, and they got 10, 11 picks. That's rare. That's a well-run organization. We're good. We don't have holes and a ton of picks. And by the way, Bill Belichick, more than anybody in the league since he took the job in New England, has moved on draft day. He's made 82 draft trades. Not always up, not always down, but Bill Belichick is hyperactive. Why? Got a good team, got a lot of picks. He knows what he wants, and he goes solves his one or two holes. I think Green Bay is really interesting, and I don't think they have to make a big hyper-aggressive move in round one. But after that, they owe it to Aaron. They owe it to themselves. You need a corner, and you need a receiver. Trade all your picks to get him. This team is too good. 10 picks? There's not 10 guys that can make this roster. Well, they lost their center to the Chargers. They have a guard they drafted a couple years ago, developed. He'll move over. They're fine. David Bakhtiari comes back left tackle. They could maybe take, you know, an offensive lineman. It's not a need. It's a top 5 offensive line. Even losing their center to the Chargers, it's still a top 5 offensive line. So this is Patriots territory. Good, no holes, lot of picks. And New England moved up to get people. And I think Green, we all talk about crap leading up to the draft. I'm fascinated Monday what Green Bay looks like, because I don't think they're that far away. Remember the Tampa Bay Buccaneer game? It was not a route. It was one blown coverage before half and a tenuous coaching decision. Otherwise, they're in the Super Bowl. Otherwise, they're in, and they're facing a Kansas City team missing their left tackle.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Adam Schefter came out, said multiple teams are expected to contact the Niners today inquiring about Jimmy Garoppolo. As of this morning, the chances of him being traded, remote. Let's keep our eye on it. So I'm going to double down on something I said yesterday. Just keep Garoppolo. Play him till he gets hurt. Even if you love Mac Jones, would you really like him week one against the Seahawks? Really? Week one against Aaron Donald? Week one against Kyler Murray and that pass rush in Arizona? You gave up nothing for Jimmy Garoppolo. Think about this. Let's put it in context. You gave up a second round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what New England gave up for Mohamed Sanu and Miami gave up for Josh Rosen. Sometimes you whiff totally. But San Francisco didn't even whiff. They were 2-14 the year before they got Garoppolo. 3 years later, they're winning their division and going to the Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo has completely outperformed his trade compensation. You've already gotten so much more out of him than anybody gets for a second round pick. Do you have to win another trade? Keep him around until he gets hurt. Play him until he gets hurt, which, you know, it was week 3 of the preseason maybe, but nonetheless, you really feel good if you love Mac Jones. He's ready to play now. Really? Is he ready to beat Seattle now in Seattle? No. Is he ready to beat the Rams now and Matt Stafford and Sean McVay? No. If you like Mac Jones, you'd even acknowledge he's probably better in a year than now. Like, I always feel this with grills. I've owned like 3 grills in my life. I grill a lot. I keep them 10 years. You pay like $1,000. I mean, you can pay $400. I don't go to the top end. I don't go bottom. I go somewhere in the middle, $900 for a grill. It used to be $600. Now it's about $950 for a grill. I use it for 10 years. I get so much enjoyment out of a grill. I mean, when I think of grills, I think of family and kids and burgers and hot dogs and pork chops. So when my grill after 10 years is done, I don't try to resell it. I already won. I'm going to resell it to a neighbor for $40. I just give it to a neighbor if he wants it. I give it to a kid, one of the kids in my family, college kid. Just take the thing. Like New England or San Francisco, they won the deal. Second round pick. That's what Miami got for Josh Rosen. A second round pick, he takes you to the Super Bowl. Just keep him around. Keep him around and play him till he runs out of gas or gets hurt. But this idea, you got to move him. Even if you loved Mac Jones, he ain't ready to go to Seattle or go against Matt Stafford and Kyler Murray and win. And none of these guys, Trevor Lawrence isn't. None of these guys are. You won the trade. You don't have to win it again. Keep them around until the car runs out of gas, the Garoppolo van runs out of gas, and then he's either, you know, if he gets hurt again, by the way, he's got no value. Keep him as a backup. He'd be one of the top 3 backups in the league.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches. Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's my last mock draft. This is
okay,
it.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, this is the last one. This is based on the betting markets. This isn't what I would do. This is what I think is going to happen. So number one, Trevor Lawrence, Jags, we all agree. So let's not waste any time on that. Number two, Zach Wilson, Jets. He's got a high ceiling. I think it could go south very quickly, but whatevs. Number three, I believe the Niners have already made decisions on Mac Jones. What they're doing now is protecting their butt. They're telling you they don't know. They like everybody else. So if everybody else succeeds and Mac fails, they can go back and go, well, we liked them. And I also think the Garoppolo trade is to protect their butt. If they get rid of him, then they can argue, we had to get a quarterback ready to play now. I think they've decided on Mac Jones. Number four, this is the move I would make, and it's the move I think Atlanta will make, Kyle Pitts. I don't think they need to get rid of Matt Ryan. Listen, he's a top 12 quarterback, former MVP, got to a Super Bowl a couple years ago. I don't think he's that much worse than 2 years ago. And they have a young O-line and young receivers. They grow together. You add Kyle Pitts. It is a great – it's a little bit like the Cowboys. If they get Kyle Pitts, they look a lot like Dallas. Good luck stopping them, but they don't tackle well. So I think they go Kyle Pitts. He and Trevor Lawrence are the real locks in this draft in terms of generational talent. Number five, Bengals. Okay, they're off. Let's be honest. Their offensive line's not a disaster. They have a really good center and a good left tackle, and those are the two most valuable offensive line positions, tackle and center. They went out and paid for a right tackle. Not great, but they paid for it. I believe they think they can upgrade their offensive line later, and I think they can. I don't think they can get a receiver like Ja'Marr Chase later. So I think they take Ja'Marr Chase, the LSU wide receiver. I think they believe, and I think they're right, he really is, last 2 years, he is different than everybody. He is physically different. He's a pro playing college. They could go offensive line, but let's not make it out to their offensive line's a wreck. It needs to be upgraded. But if you got a center you like they do and a left tackle, it's not a wreck. It's not... you know, it's not like the Jets the last 3 years. So then the Dolphins. Now this is, I would go offensive line, but I wouldn't go left tackle. I'd go Slater, even though Penei Sewell grades higher. Why? Because they have Austin Jackson at left tackle and they like him. They went and got him last year. He's a good kid and a good player. But here's the thing. I know they went and got Will Fuller and they have Devontae Parker, but the betting markets are saying they're taking Waddle. The betting markets are saying Waddle's going over Devontae Smith. And remember, they were only 23rd in the NFL last year in yards after the catch. So even though you went and got Will Fuller, he's not a guy that's going to give you 16, 17 games a year. He gets hurt a lot. So Jalen Waddle, again, is a guy. Now you've got a tight end you like. You got Devontae Parker, Will Fuller, a star, and then I think they believe, too, they can get offensive line help later. And I don't think Miami's offensive line, again, I don't think it's a disaster. So now we've got really good offensive linemen on the market and Detroit drafting 7. Okay. The Lions have allowed 40-plus sacks in 4 straight years. And that's with Matt Stafford, who's more mobile than Jared Goff. I think they get Penei Sewell. I think you have to go offensive line here. Now, do I think they would trade down a little bit? Yes. But they're a weird franchise. You went and got Goff. We know the thing with Goff. Once he got Andrew Whitworth with the Rams at left tackle, he was a much better quarterback. I don't think Dan Campbell's a great coach, but I think he likes size. He's impressed by that stuff. And Penei Sewell walks in the room, and he's a man. He's a 21-year-old man or a 20-year-old man. Now, number 8. I've been saying this. I think New England moves up. I think New England watches this draft all night, and there's a chance they won't move up. But I think if it's 8 and it's Carolina, Carolina's got Darnold. They don't need a quarterback. I'm not saying they wouldn't take one, but they don't need one. What they need is picks and rebuilding. And I think Carolina trades down, gets more picks. New England moves in and takes Justin Fields. Now, they could take Trey Lance, but the stories this morning that are coming out is they lean Fields over Trey Lance. So I think New England gets their quarterback, plays under Cam for a year. Remember, New England doesn't have a ton of holes. Good old line, solid backs, upgraded tight end wide receiver. Their defensive personnel is fine. I do think they could use, they love pass rushers, and I think they love corners. But I don't think they think if they stay at 15, they're going to get J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain. So I think they move up, get a quarterback, plays, you know, and it tells you that Belichick's not going to retire anytime soon. Number 9, Broncos. I think they draft Trey Lance. I think it's a great fit. Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke in a division with Herbert, Derek Carr, and Mahomes. That's the 4th best quarterback. So Trey Lance, no rush to play. You play Bridgewater, Drew Locke this year. You sit him for a year. I know a little about Trey Lance. I've met him. When I suggested Denver, he smiled. He liked that. So I think Denver. Okay, now you go Cowboys 10, Giants 11, Eagles 12. Here's my guess. I've been told now by 2 GMs. I was told by a general manager last night. It is a 2-corner draft. Patrick Surtain and Horn. Not that there aren't good corners after that, but they've either got an injury issue or they've got a length issue. These are the 2 stars. I think the Cowboys could take the Bama corner, wouldn't be surprised, but Dallas has a history of flashy, and J.C. Horn is flashier. He's moving up the draft. His dad played in the NFL forever. It would be a big hire. It'd get big. Oh, my God, they took over. And I think they take J.C. Horn, who, by the way, grades really high according to my guys. Giants go 11. Again, Joe Judge is the coach. So Brian Flores, what was the first big money he spent in free agency? A corner. Why? If you coach under Belichick, you know the value of corners. Joe Judge coached under Belichick. They've already solved their offensive weapon issue. They got Galladay and Sterling Sharp and Kyle Rudolph and Evan Engram and Saquon Barkley. Their offensive line's not a wreck. It's not a wreck. Don't listen to anybody. It's not a wreck. They've gone after that O-line last 2 years. I think they go get Patrick Surtain from Alabama at corner. And then I think the Eagles want a corner. I think the Eagles want a corner, but they shouldn't be moving up in a draft. They shouldn't be giving away draft capital. They've not drafted particularly well last 3 or 4 years. I think they get Devontae Smith. So they give their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, another weapon. And the 12 spot feels about right for Devontae Smith. I think he's a little overvalued, but I do think he'll succeed.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
And now we bring in a former NFL scout for a bunch of different teams, works at the NFL Network, highly respected Daniel Jeremiah. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I... Seriously, I feel... So go look at my board. I feel good about my first 5 picks. You look at my first five picks. Are you kind of in the same ballpark?
Well, I feel great about the first four. I think five is a debate. And I heard you talking, Colin. I've been in that same camp with Ja'Marr Chase at five, knowing the tackle depth that you could swing around and get one in the second round. I was kind of in that camp. And then two things. Number one, I don't know why, but when they tweeted out that picture of the new uniforms, I couldn't stop staring at that scar on Burrow's knee. And I thought, okay, it's just, I couldn't. So I was like, okay, maybe Sewell. And then once all this medical information has come in, and it's come in late, I talked to a team this morning that got medical information this morning that removed one player from their board. It's a train wreck trying to get through all this medical stuff. And it's hit the defensive line particularly hard. So a lot of those picks in the 20s that we thought were going to be defensive linemen a month ago, I think a lot of those guys are going to drop. And I think some of those second round offensive linemen everybody was so fired up about are going to sneak their way into the back end of the first round. So I could see the Bengals getting cold feet on that one and end up going with Sewell. But I think it's a toss up to me, 50-50.
Listen, we have it. You know, I mean, you were scouting for you've scouted for the Eagles, the Browns, the Ravens, and you're as respected as any former scout that does this. And, you know, it's interesting is that Patrick Surtain, the corner from Alabama, is clean. Yeah. Like, there's no baggage. Mm-hmm. J.C. Horn, bigger personality, aggressive. Now he's the hot guy moving up. When you're in a war, because I do think I could see Dallas, they like flash. We all know that. I could see them arguing themselves, because I think they're both going to succeed. I could see them arguing over Horn is going to get a buzz. He's a playmaker. His dad was a playmaker. Dallas at 10. Are we sure they're taking the Bama corner?
I think they're taking whichever one of those corners gets there. I do not think both of them get there. And to kind of echo a little bit of what you were saying, to me, the three safest players, let's take Trevor Lawrence and Kyle Pitts and put them on another island all by themselves. Okay, those guys are unicorns. The three safest players in the draft are the two corners. And you talk about Surtain and Horn. They both played against the best competition in the best league. They played at a high level. They've got clean medical. They're height, weight, speed guys. The character's great. Clean as can be. And then you look at Elijah Vera Tucker from USC, who I think is going to be an 8-year Pro Bowl guard. You know exactly who he is. He comes in clear packaging. He's got, again, clear medical, great character, checks every box. Those are the three safest picks in the draft. And in a year where we have so much uncertainty, I can't see the Cowboys at 10 even being in a position to have to make the choice. I think that choice will be made for them.
So I'm going to throw my thing out I said about Mac Jones, even if you loved him.
No.
So everybody's always trying to win trades. But I can make an argument. You only gave up a second for Garoppolo. That's what Miami did for Josh Rosen and New England did for Mohamed Sanu. You won the Jimmy Garoppolo trade. You don't need to win it again. Why not just keep him around, even if you like Mac Jones? Do you want him starting week one against Aaron Donald? Do you want him week three against Pete Carroll? Can I make an argument and take me into how NFL teams think? We won the Garoppolo deal. We were 4-12 or 3-whatever they were. 3 years later, we're in the Super Bowl. We gave up a second. Why not just keep Garoppolo until the wheels fall off or Mac Jones is ready?
Yeah, the only argument I would say against that, and I think there's some logic there, especially just let's buy time for whoever it is. If it's Mac Jones or Trey Lance, whichever direction they end up going there at three, which I still think there is still to be determined there on how that shakes out. But I also see the other side of it from a team standpoint. You've got Jimmy Garoppolo, who's very well liked in that locker room. And now you get off to, say he starts playing, he plays well early in the season. You've got kind of the older part of the locker room that is gravitated towards Jimmy. They don't want to see that baton ever get handed to the younger guy. It can get a little bit messy there, where if you just say, okay, look, everybody in the building, downstairs, upstairs, they know that Mac Jones is our guy. There's nobody else. He's the guy. We're going to roll with him. And maybe we start off a little bit slow, but we've got a 17-game season to figure it out. We think he'll get there quicker than most rookies coming in as polished as he is. So that's the other argument for maybe moving on.
Okay, you're the general manager of Denver. And yep. Lance and Justin Fields are both available. Now, because of Teddy and Drew, you got a year here. You don't have to play them day one. You're not going to win that division anyway, I don't think. So you got a year. You're the GM. You watched all this tape. Trey Lance, Justin Fields. Who do you take?
Well, I'm taking Trey Lance. I don't think there's a wrong decision because I have them so closely graded. I think Trey's my seventh overall player. Justin's my eighth. the tiebreaker for me was I thought Trey was a better decision maker. He protected the football. I thought Trey played with a little bit more urgency in terms of just everything he did. He just was a little bit quicker with everything. Didn't take sacks, didn't turn the ball over. I don't think he's even scratched the surface of what he can be. But I like Fields as well. I think Fields is going to be a really good player. I think all those four guys, to me, Mac Jones is the fifth guy. I have him a little bit lower. He's my 32nd overall player. Those other four guys, I think, are worthy top 10 picks in a lot of years, not just a one-off year. I think these guys, you put them in different draft classes, there's a lot to like. And to me, it's not necessarily what people keep asking, what's wrong with Justin Fields? I mean, no, what's right with Trey Lance is how I would respond to that. I think they're both going to be good pros.
All right, I'm very – let's look at my obnoxious mock draft. Let's let Jeremiah pick it apart. I'm very thick-skinned here. So put up my mock draft one more time. I'll give you an example. So my argument on Detroit Penei Sewell is this. Matt Stafford was running for his life, and he's more mobile than Jared Goff. You can – you know, you lost Kenny Golladay, I get it. But this team hasn't had a legitimate great O-line in 15 years. Doesn't Penei Sewell make sense for the Lions?
So here's the way I came out with this one. I ended up giving him Rashawn Slater because I had Sewell off the board. And I just couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that you could put Dan Campbell, Chris Spielman, and John Dorsey in one room and come out with anything other than an offensive lineman. I know Brad Holmes is a general manager, but that's that collection of people coming together and saying we're going to take Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle, I couldn't get my mind to that place. So that's why I ended up going with an offensive lineman there.
Okay, so where do you have Penei Sewell going?
I had him going to Cincy at 5.
Okay. I'll throw this curveball at you. Yeah. So let's say Cincy takes Ja'Marr Chase and Miami goes Waddle because Will Fuller can't stay healthy. What if what you just said is true and they take Slater and now Carolina's on the phone with New England and Carolina's like, oh my God. Penei Sewell?
They aren't trading out.
That's what I think. They're not trading out.
They don't have a left tackle. So you've got a left tackle staring you right in the face. Look, give Sam Darnold a chance. I don't see how they would trade off that pick if that were the case. Personally, I wouldn't. I would take Slater. Either one of those guys I'd be happy with. I think either one of them are an enormous upgrade at left tackle and will give Sam Darnold an opportunity to have some success.
All right, guess. Will Belichick trade up tonight? What's your guess?
I put him trading up in my mock draft. I have no clue what those guys are going to do. I would say I don't think so because I think somebody else is going to be more motivated. I think they would entertain it, but I don't think they'll overpay, and I think somebody else will.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network coverage of the draft from Cleveland tonight at 8 Pacific Eastern. That's 5 our time out west. Enjoy Cleveland. I've heard it rocks. That's the old saying they say. It certainly will tonight, whether it does long term. Have a blast. Daniel, thanks so much.
Real quick, Colin, as I leave, just remember the rules. If the mock draft goes way wrong for you, you don't care about it. We're just trying to have fun. If you get it right, you retweet that thing and you point yourself and say, who's the smart guy? This guy right here.
That's what I do on my show every day. That's the rule for my show every day. Daniel, great seeing you. Thanks.
See you, bud.
We had a story yesterday where Carolina and New England talked. So that I trust the source on that. But what's interesting with Carolina, you can talk. But if you can get Penei Sewell or Slater, I don't care what that's because that Carolina's got one major hole, left tackle. After that, they need corners, maybe another defensive lineman. But, I mean, I can set up all the trade stuff, but in the end, somebody is going to drop out of this thing.
Right.
And they don't need a wide receiver.
Well,
and they don't need a quarterback, despite what they say.
That's to DJ and Jay's point earlier. This is such a top-heavy draft. You don't want to move too far down, because then you're taking yourself out of the space where the best players are in. So if you can get Sewell, what's the value of moving back? Like, there's not that many good players in this draft.
That's
high
right.
end players.
So an NFL GM told me last night they have 18 players drafted as first round players. 18. And I asked another executive 2 days ago. He had 17, 18. I asked him who his 17th, 18th was, and he said the running back from Clemson. He said, we don't need him, but that's who I would say. So they Najee Harris, the running back at Bama, I think is a little overrated. I wouldn't draft him first round, although I do think Pittsburgh needs a running back.
They absolutely do.
So sometimes, listen, Sony Michel, New England went and got him for, sometimes you just have a hole in your roster. And right now, Pittsburgh needs a running back. So they're probably going to take one of those two guys if they're available. All right. Good stuff. Bill Polian, Drew Bledsoe. I'm not even close to exhausted. I'm going to have five more Red Bulls before I go to bed tonight. Spring is here. Like many of you, I'm looking forward to months of grilling, especially now that I have ButcherBox as a partner in that. They ship overnight directly to my door, protein meat conveniently. And they care about animals and sustainability and the environment. That's why their chicken is free-range and organic, and their beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished. 20 different cuts of protein to choose from. Salmon, scallops, pork, chicken, beef. Website is loaded with recipes. Check it out. ButcherBox.com/herd. If you sign up today...